Captain. Welcome to the Fire Everything Podcast, Fireside Chats 5 or 6. I kind of lost track. My name's Nate.
I'm Sam.
And we're here to talk about video games. As you notice, there's no Paul, and we're very deeply saddened by that.
Yeah, he's off furthering his theater career, so we will be making this a shorter episode. Not an awful lot to talk about this week, thankfully. A couple key things, and then I think we're going to get right to talking about the Titanfall beta after all of that, which is the huge thing that me and Nate got to play hours and hours of.
Much time on it, actually.
Yeah, I didn't really play very much of anything this week after after I kind of wore that out and the beta ended. So if you want to talk about whatever games you've been playing,
well,
other than that, I think I've only really been touching the usuals, Dark Souls, that.
I looked, I actually looked at my end of the Titanfall beta when it ended, how much I had played, and I had put 12 hours into the beta alone. But I also played other stuff too. I played through The Last of Us Left Behind.
Oh, right on.
And I also played through the game Octodad, Dadliest Catch.
How is that? Because I kept seeing videos and I'm very tempted to grab it. I don't know. I needed a personal review from someone that I know before I buy it.
My friend let me play it on his Steam because I didn't want to buy it. I was like, I don't want to buy this. Yeah. And I played it on his Steam, and it's like it was pretty fun. Like, I mean, it's like more stupid than anything, but it was fun. It was really short. Like, I don't even think it was less than 2 hours long, but it was sort of funny because like the physics of the octopus and stuff, and it's just funny to walk around. Like halfway through the game, you kind of master the whole, like, what you're supposed to be doing, and you're like, oh wow, like this is how it works, and it's like, oh, this is pretty fun actually.
Okay, because honestly, from all the gameplay demos I was watching, it almost looked as uncontrollable as, like, Surgeon Simulator.
Yeah, it's similar to that, but, I mean, it's more controllable after a while. It was fun. I mean, I'm not saying it's a great game. I'd say it's, like, maybe a 6.5, 7 out of 10, you know, something like that. Yeah. But it wasn't terrible. I mean, it gave me something to do because the Battlefield maps came out this week, and I played those, and, God, I forgot how bad Battlefield 3 maps actually were. So until I played that map pack, it's like, thanks, DICE, for a map pack that is absolute garbage. But at least they announced a new map pack.
Back maps that I didn't want to return to in the first place and making me pay for them.
Exactly, but they did announce after the new map pack came out, and we'll get to the news, is the next map pack for Battlefield 4 is bringing back the Titan mode from Battlefield 2142.
Really?
It's with big naval ships. So all four maps will be Titan maps.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and so I was like, yes, yes, yes. I'm so glad I bought the season pass again. It's like you made me so sad with the last two, but with this one, I'm like, yes, I'm glad I bought it again.
Yeah, I don't remember very much about that Battlefield game, but I remember the Titan mode.
The 2142, in my opinion, is the best one just because it was balanced, and like the Titan mode was just really good because like the Titan mode, what it did is, basically, it was it was like, you know how domination works in Call of Duty and how conquest works in Battlefield? It was like that.
Sure.
But as you captured the points, they were actually like, I don't know if it'll work in this, of course, but what it would do is they would shoot like rockets at the ship and it would destroy the shield. And once the shield was destroyed, you could go board the Titan and you fought inside the Titan to destroy certain things in it. So you could get to this core, and when you destroyed the core, everyone ran out and it exploded.
So I imagine it'll probably work similarly in the Battlefield 4 version. There'll probably be a main arena of the map where everybody is engaging, competing for territory space, for these artillery cannons or whatever.
And there'll be an ocean on each side, most likely, where the boats are in, is what I'm
right, and after you shell a boat enough, you could probably send, like, a speedboat over with a squad. And then they end up having more skirmishes on the boat as it's sinking and stuff, and make it a little bit more cinematic for multiplayer. That sounds pretty cool.
I'm pretty stoked. Like, they'll definitely... I'll return to Battlefield when that happens, for sure.
Yeah, it'll also make it a little bit more interesting, just because I'd love to see the way vehicular warfare works out in that gameplay. You know, people in jets and helicopters helping out with attacking the boats and stuff like that, so...
Yeah, so I'm stoked on that, but that's about all I played. I mean... I tried the Strider demo too, but that wasn't a good game.
Yeah, a lot of hardcore Capcom enthusiasts have been crying out for this game for a while, and I'm glad it came out for their sake, but, you know, it's nothing special to me, so I won't be picking that up either.
Yeah, I tried the demo. It's not fun. But I guess we should get into the news.
Yeah.
Starting off with, Wednesday, the Wolfenstein New Order trailer came out, because we haven't heard anything from this game since, like, E3 of last year. And so this new trailer came out. And the game now has a May release date, and man, does it look fucking awesome.
Yeah, I gotta say, it looks like it's doing a really good job of blending next-gen graphics, modern storytelling, and classic first-person shooter gameplay. Like, the dual wielding, and, you know, it doesn't have Call of Duty shooting, it has Wolfenstein shooting, which I think is a really good distinction. You know, they're not trying to make it something that it's not. It's keeping a lot of the things that people loved about the original, you know, the classic 2D shooters. So that's really kind of, that's kind of a relief. They're not taking themselves too seriously. I mean, the main enemy's last name is Death's Head.
The main scientist guy.
Yeah, you know, it's an alternate reality where the Nazis won and all this stuff.
They take over America, yeah.
Yeah, and they seem to be polishing it up with a little bit of an Inglourious Bastards feel and stuff like that. It looks like it can capture some serious moments. Obviously, you know, the Nazis, nothing to joke about for the most part.
But, like, the cool thing is, like, it's kind of an interesting idea, because, like, I like that, like, it's set a little bit more in the future since World War II actually ended. So, like, the Nazis have, like, this technology that allows them to make robots and have crazier guns, and, like, it'll still have, like, the special kind of elements that the other Wolfenstein game, like, the Wolfenstein movie before had, like, some weirder guns that were, like, futuristic, and it seems like this game will have stuff like that.
Right, much like Resistance, obviously an older concept that has been around for longer. Wolfenstein takes place in an alternate reality where the Nazis won World War II, and I believe they also make use of supernatural technology and stuff like that. They summon demons and stuff to help them fight. And
it looks really dark, too. Like, it looks like kind of a darker game. Like, it'll show kind of like... What I'm hoping, here's me being, like, a history buff, is it shows, like, what the impact of this... of the Germans taking over the United States actually is, you know? Like, how bad the Germans treat everyone.
Right.
And a lot of the trailer shows a lot of, like, just blood and gore and...
Yeah,
like, a lot of awfulness. Exactly, yeah.
Well, one of the things that I really liked, and I think you're right, I think they are going to touch base on that, is it's like, what happens to all these world-famous monuments and ideals, you know? Obviously right now in the real world, we're a planet full of diverse cultures and ideals and stuff. And so, you know, the trailer starts off with Mount Rushmore getting demolished.
Yeah.
Which I thought was like, oh yeah, that does, like, it seemed like a no-brainer. Like, if the Nazis had taken over the U.S. somehow, like, obviously they would tear that kind of shit down. So it will be, I think you're right, it will be really interesting to see... you know, the effect of a world run by the Nazis after World War II.
It just looks like a fun shooter. I wonder if, I'm curious if it'll have, like, a multiplayer element or anything. Like, I probably will. But I mean,
I'm kind of hoping that if there is a multiplayer,
like,
they don't...
enemy territory type game play as well.
I would want it to be that. I wouldn't want it to be deathmatch based, because that we just see that over and over again. You know, it's not very interesting to play a first person shooter and have the main gameplay be about killing people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not very creative. It's not very thoughtful. So if they do add multiplayer, I definitely agree. I think it needs to be objective based, not killing based.
And with next gen, they're going to be able to do a lot more with these games. So I'm hoping this is like a next gen Wolfenstein game. This is developed specifically for PS4 and Xbox One. And in the trailers, it definitely is beautiful. And I like, if you've noticed a lot, is it's got a lot of, like, a lot of destructibility in a lot of the environments. Like, I remember seeing in a video last year at E3 where the guy was shooting through the wall, and he was actually shooting through, like, pieces of metal, like, in other games that have destructible environments and stuff. Kind of like Battlefield, a little bit. But, I mean, we'll see. It looks pretty sweet. Like, I want to see more about it before it comes out, but right now they have my attention. We'll see what happens when it comes out.
Definitely. And, of course, a really big selling point for this game, even if you're not super familiar with the Wolfenstein franchise, you know, if you just need a little extra something to hook you to pre-order this game, pre-ordered copies of this game guarantee you entry into the new Doom beta.
Yeah.
Which Doom, you know, if you are playing first person shooters and you have never heard of a little game called Doom, your ass
you're probably a child.
No, you're probably you. Yeah, I don't even know what to say to you. Go look up Doom. Go download a little.
Play Doom 3's demo. It's scary as hell.
Yeah, it's. Oh. But yeah, that was kind of the other big piece of news, though, because we haven't heard a lot about the new Doom. This is the first we've heard of it in a while, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I wonder if, like, you know, if the new Doom will be any good now because of, you know, it's cool that it's coming with this game, and I think this game looks fucking awesome. But I mean, the question is now is, like, Doom hasn't been around for almost, I think it's been like 7 years since Doom came out.
Yeah, I think they did an HD remake of Doom 3 recently, but Doom 3 came out. Yeah, that was, what, PS2? Classic Xbox?
You know, Classic Xbox, PS2. I mean, it was primarily a PC game, because Doom was like originally a PC exclusive.
That's what they're all about.
I'm pretty sure it was a PC. Maybe it was a PC exclusive. And they made like versions that were like Doom 3 Armageddon or some shit that was for consoles. Like, remember what they used to do with Call of Duty, where they had Call of Duty on PC, and then you had Call of Duty, like, Big Red One for consoles?
Yeah, and then they did really kind of change the way that you move games from console to console back then. That is true. They would put, like, Ninja Gaiden for the Xbox had a different title than it did for
Sigma,
the PS2.
Yeah,
Sigma, even though they're pretty much the same fucking game. And that stuff kind of went by the wayside when the 360.
When Call of Duty started. Well, I mean, when 360 came out, Call of Duty 2 came out for Xbox 360 and PC the same day.
Yeah, and in general, when the 360 and the PS3 began their era, that was when people were beginning to see that PCs and current consoles would be able to compete on a similar level, but we're getting off topic.
Yeah. Anyways, but this new Wolfenstein looks cool. Hopefully it really does have an Inglourious Basterds vibe, because that movie's hilarious, and it's just a great, it's like, it seems more fun that way, like, to have that kind of craziness going on in a Wolfenstein game that's about fucking mechs, so.
Yeah, I just, my primary concern about that being that if they go too over the top with the brutality and the torture and stuff, the way that they do in the film Inglourious Basterds, and I'm not saying that they're doing that, but it's entirely possible. I feel like that could undermine the entire game if they go a little too far in that direction, because I think that it does need to retain a level of seriousness in order to be fun.
I mean, I'd want to torture the heck out of the Germans if they took over back in World War II times, because the Nazis are just terrible people, and like the final scene you see in the trailer is some dude with a chainsaw, like, to a German, it looks like a German, like, officer.
Yeah, like an SS officer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
It's, you know, usually I wouldn't want to do that kind of scene, but for some reason the Nazis just kind of get a pass in that situation.
They're like, just evil.
Yeah, I'll hold a chainsaw up to a Nazi's throat.
The final reveal is that actually, like, Hitler survived it all, and he's just a giant mech now, and it's like he was in the original Wolfenstein. You remember that?
Yeah.
The final boss fight was Mecha Hitler. It turns out, like, Mecha Hitler is going to be the final boss fight in this game. I just know it.
That would be amazing. I know at the very least they're thinking about adding that as some sort of Easter egg or something.
I hope so. Like, he's like, they try, like, oh, we tried to put you in a robot and he died or something, and that's how he died. But, like, I don't know. I think that'd be funny. But, anyways, I mean, this game looks awesome. It doesn't come out till May, so I'm sure we'll see a little bit more before May, and we'll keep you posted on it.
Next up,
Irrational Games has closed its doors.
What? Explain yourself.
So, apparently, Ken Levine, here's what I've heard. So, I mean, obviously Bioshock Infinite had like a huge budget and it needed to make a lot of money to be successful, because of how much advertising costs now.
Right.
Like, advertising is what costs these games the most. Like, if you don't advertise, you won't get your game out there. But at the same time, you spend a lot of money on advertising with a lot of these games that come out. And obviously, I guess, you know, the budget, they wanted to make a certain amount of money. Like, you know how Tomb Raider wanted to make a certain amount of money and it didn't make that amount of money?
Yeah.
It's the same thing happened with Bioshock Infinite. So they didn't make exactly what they wanted to make. And Ken Levine decided to shut the studio down, and he's going to make, from what I've heard, he's going to make not mobile games, but digital games.
Huh. Yeah, you know, that's something that's really interesting that he talked about digital gaming, because Cliff Bleszinski recently said something similar about how he doesn't believe that there's a future in physical format, you know, in going to the store to buy your copy of Killzone Shadowfall or whatever, you know. They both seem to be pretty firm believers that as the industry moves forward, we need to start using purely digital outlets for this media.
I mean, it's basically, it's non-irrational games isn't really closing its doors specifically. It's more that they're winding down, is how he quotes it. He says that they want to make a smaller, more entrepreneurial endeavor, is what he wants to do. So yeah. Obviously he laid off some people. And they changed focus. So, I mean, I guess Irrational will still be a thing, but it's not going to be a huge, you know, company. I mean, BioShock Infinite took a long time.
I think that's probably a lot of it, too, is that they were spending a lot of time on this game. And, you know, you're right. It costs a lot to commercialize a game like this. It takes a lot of money to get a name out there on television so that everybody's seeing it. And BioShock was definitely a game that was well publicized, so I can't imagine that they spared any expense there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand that. It's kind of sad because BioShock Infinite was so good. I mean, it was not, you know, the game of the year last year, but it was still really good, and it had a lot, was a lot to it, and I like the BioShock series, and I would love to see where they want to go next, you know? And it's sad that we won't see where that goes next, you know?
Yeah, I will say that while I wasn't as big of a fan of BioShock Infinite as everybody else seemed to be, it was a good game, and I think it had the best story in the BioShock universe. So I guess I'm a little saddened to see that Irrational probably won't be trying their hands at a BioShock Infinite sequel or another game in the BioShock universe anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, you know, their final game is basically is Burial at Sea, part two, and so we'll see how that ends, because that's going to end their, you know, their whole story, and we'll see what that does. But I mean, it's always sad to see a studio who makes games you like go away.
Yeah, well, it's sad to see any studio close or even downsize themselves like they are now, but you know, thankfully they won't be gone forever. Who knows, they might bounce back.
Well, I think what they're trying to do is they'll probably start like back from the beginning and then work their way back up to where they were, I'd imagine. But I mean,
yeah,
you never know.
After a lot of the issues that they had developing that game, they probably just wanted to work on projects that weren't as stressful. You know, how long? Can you look up how long that game was in development? That's going to kill me now.
Yeah, I got it. Just keep. In other news, I mean, not just because we can, real quick, and we'll get back to that.
Yeah.
We saw our first gameplay of The Order 1866.
Yes, yes.
And it wasn't much.
No, it was really no. It was really like, oh, okay, well, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, and the thing is, they say in all the press releases, they're like, oh, there'll be more soon, you know, we'll see more eventually, and all this stuff. And I mean, I just don't like the fact that, you know, we don't know anything about it.
You know, I
August 2010 was when it was announced, and 2.5 years before that was when it started being made. So almost fucking Jesus. 2.5 years plus 3 years, almost 6 years.
Yeah, so very close to 6 years. And if you can include the DLC that is still in development, then definitely more than 6 years in development. Which, you know, if you look at how long the consoles have existed, or at least, you know, the generation of consoles that BioShock Infinite was released on, that's the majority of the life cycle of the 360 and the PS3 wasted on developing the game so that it comes out just before next gen.
And it's not a bad game. It was just, you know.
No, it was good. I just imagine that if it had come out any time near where they announced it, it would have been, you know, it would have been a blowout success, and we'd be reading something completely different about them today.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess we're getting back to, I mean, I'm pretty much done with that. Is there anything else you think you say about that, or no?
I guess I had a little bit of a question, just because you were talking about The Order 1886. and how we're all kind of upset that we've seen so little of the actual game. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you think that gamers now, at least the ones like us who are kind of inquisitive about what the games are going to be about and what it's going to look like and all the shit that we discuss on the podcast, do you think we're a little, we expect a little too much from these devs in terms of what we want to see and when we want to see it?
Yes.
Because I
do, because I expected, like, you know, you remember how we got like the 8 minutes of Shadow of Mordor?
Yes.
I was expecting that of the Order 1866, and then we get like this 3 minute thing that's kind of cut up and stuff. I mean, a lot of people are saying, you know, this game isn't done, obviously. And obviously it's not done, duh. But the thing is, I think it's done more than we think, and I think Sony doesn't want to give away all their secrets. What they want to do is they want to get it out there so people, because people keep asking, you know, is this game even going to come out this year? If it's coming out this year, you know, we have to see what it looks like gameplay-wise, and we've seen what it looks like, but I think what Sony wants to do is at E3 this year, they want to have a Last of Us moment, where they show a gameplay for a game, and you're just like, oh my god, like, this looks amazing. Like they did with that, when they dropped the controller that 1 year.
Yeah. It could either be something like that, where they really truly do have something spectacular waiting for us for E3 or whenever they decide to drop it on us. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. Sony's done that to us in the past, like you just said. You know, they did that with that. I think that one of the biggest ones for me was the Uncharted 2 reveal.
Yes.
That was probably one of the best trailers for a sequel I've ever seen. But I don't know. I felt very similarly about God of War Ascension as well. So I also know that Sony is capable of building up hype for something, even when it turns out to be maybe not a half-baked product, but
it wasn't as good as other games were.
A half-thought-out recipe. Let's say it that way. So I'm going to continue to speculate about this. I really want it to be a good game because it looks gorgeous, and I think the setting is really interesting, but I'm not holding my breath either.
Yeah, I mean, this is the game this year for... I mean, obviously we're getting Infamous in a month exactly from today.
A lot of games coming out next month.
You know, there's a lot of stuff coming out. Obviously we're getting Infamous, you know, a month from today, and that's a huge, huge, huge exclusive for PS4. Right. And I think that game's going to score nines all over the board. But this is the game for the fall, you know. This is the game that people who own PS4s are going to be playing. And there's no multiplayer in this game, which is a problem.
Well, and you know? I don't think that... This is another thing that I'm speculating about, is that the devs, you know, when talked to by the media, it seemed like the game is still in not early stages of development, but they're still throwing ideas on the table as to what could be added to it. And you're right, they did say it was single player, but I almost wonder if they're choosing not to show too much gameplay of this because now they know that people want there to be multiplayer. You know, they saw this first impression of it in E3 last year, where it turned out, you know, to be these four characters that walk around with each other and protect each other, and, you know,
it just wasn't it wasn't a good first impression of the game. You know, when we first saw that trailer, it was amazing. We're like, oh, we can't wait to see what this is. And, you know, we finally see gameplay, and it's just, like, very small corridors just shooting, you know? And I'm sure there's way more to this because it's a next-gen game. It's being developed by Sony. It's not just going to be, you know, a cheap, you know, new IP cash-in. Or maybe, you know, it probably won't be, like, you know, an Uncharted 2 or a, you know, a Last of Us impression because, you know. But I think there's more to be shown on this game. I think there's a lot more going on that we don't see yet. You know, and we're still, you know, it's only February. This game will probably come out November, October. So there's still a good amount of time to see what's happening.
So did they say it's coming out this year? And when was that said? Because this strikes me as the kind of game where if they said that their goal is to release it by the end of 2014, that you might not be seeing it until early or mid next year. You know, especially if this is a game that Sony's taking as much of a priority as they hope that they are on it, just purely because
originally it said they were targeting a 2014 release date. So, I mean, if it doesn't make it, I'm not going to be mad because that means the game will be better. Just like Watch Dogs is going to be much better when it comes out this April.
Well, and the thing is, I just don't need another great game to compete with this fall. There's so many things coming out. gotta remember, Destiny is coming out this fucking fall, and that game is gonna tear up the industry. You know,
it's gonna do what Titanfall did this week.
Right. Anything released by the guys that can say that they made Halo is gonna sell money.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Sell money.
I think that game will actually outsell Titanfall. Granted, I think Titanfall is gonna be really good. But I think that Destiny will be better. But I mean, closing
really
in on
for really different reasons.
Yeah, closing in on the whole Order thing is I can't wait to see more of this game. I'm sure we will see more of this game. But I'm at the same time, I don't know what to expect still. Like, that's the problem. Is this reveal wasn't good enough for me? I hate to say it.
Yeah. So were there any releases this week or?
There were. There was the Earth Defense Force 2025, I think it was called.
That's the one with the bugs, right?
That's the one with the bugs, yeah. And then Rayman Legends also came out for PS4 and Xbox One.
And if you didn't have a console that was out on already, then I recommend that you get it because it's actually a really good platformer.
Yeah, I like it on my Vita. Next week starts the game releases, actually. So next week we'll have the first week we actually have game releases. Thief's coming out. I think Castlevania something's coming out. And then South Park comes out the following week. Titanfall, Dark Souls, Infamous, and then it goes on.
It snowballs. It's going to go crazy.
It snowballs, basically. God. You know, you have the Elder Scrolls Online, you know,
April, but it's finally happening. We're getting video games again.
Yeah, so next week starts, we're going to start getting video games again. And it snowballs for a while, at least until E3, probably.
I know, and you got to remember, this fall we're getting so much shit. So much stuff. Destiny, Dragon Age Inquisition, all these crazy next-gen
games. Oh,
Evolve. Probably Chroma, which... Oh, I wanted to talk about Chroma.
What is
that was announced. Harmonix, the guys that made... I can't remember if they made Rock Band or if they
Rock
made...
Band.
They made Rock Band.
They created the original Guitar Hero.
Right. That's right. Harmonix announced a game called Chroma, where it's a first-person shooter based around music.
Yes, I did see this.
And this game looks phenomenal. I can't believe I almost forgot about that. They haven't... I don't know how much gameplay they've shown of this. I've seen screenshots of it, and I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've released any gameplay. I certainly haven't seen any. And
I saw a screenshot of it.
Yeah, I saw screenshots of gameplay. Basically, the concept is you get thrown into this arena. You'll have some objectives, and maybe it's deathmatch or something like that. But basically, you get to choose a class, and they all play based around different weapons and equipment that they have that all react based on the music that's playing in the background of the game. So you want to move your character to the beat of the music. You want to fire. You want to pull the triggers of your gun, you know, on certain intervals to time, you know, in timing with the music. Music's your weapon. You use it as a tool. It just, I don't know. It's a really cool idea. I immediately took a liking to it just because I really love audio surf, and this really just kind of strikes me as a much more complicated idea based upon that. So I'm excited.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing we can't forget too is, I mean, you know, soon we're going to get another announcement of another Assassin's Creed title, I'm sure, and you know, hopefully it'll build off of Assassin's Creed 4, and I think Battlefield's going to become like a yearly thing now, so I think we're going to get another Battlefield title announced, honestly, which I'm not too happy about, but I mean, whatever, it prints money, so. And then The Division probably will come out this year. There's a lot of stuff that you know that's coming out, and I think in the next month we're going to get a lot of the release dates for a lot of the stuff coming out before E3. So I think we'll get a Watch Dogs release date around March. They'll announce that Drive Club will be coming out probably in March or April, and we'll get that for free on PlayStation Plus. So there's a lot of stuff coming out. We've got a lot of games, a lot of fun stuff to play. But you know what is coming out in 3 weeks, Sam?
What's coming out in 3 weeks?
Titanfall. Which me and you and Paul were originally like,
even my girlfriend got in on this game, Nate. This game is fucking awesome.
Okay, but we have to think about... Originally, we were so down on this because it looked like Call of Duty in space. And I have to say, like, this weekend was the beta, and we were so wrong. Like, it's so good.
I was really skeptical because, you're right, from just purely from watching gameplay, it looks like Call of Duty with more jumping.
Oh, but yeah.
You would be surprised how much jumping can change the game.
It changes the whole dynamic, because the thing is, like, you can actually dodge bullets because, you know, on PC there's no auto aim. I mean, I think there's auto aim when you use a controller, though. I couldn't figure it out. I was using a D-Truck 4 the whole time. I was using a
controller, and what I noticed is that auto aim does get implemented. I know that because I was aiming, I was sitting behind a staircase and aiming between the steps of the staircase, and somebody ran up it, and my guy automatically started tracking him and moving to the left, and it ended up killing me. So there is a small amount of auto aim, but it's not as hardcore as it is in Call of Duty, and I don't even know where to begin with this game.
I mean, I guess we could start. Okay, so there's three modes in the beta. There's attrition, which is team deathmatch, but you get more kills when you kill people with a Titan than if you just kill them with guns. There's a hardpoint warzone, hardpoint, something like that, where everyone just camps and it's a lot like domination. I wasn't using that one. I got pretty pissed off with that one. And then there's Last Titan Standing, which is kind of like the original mode in Gears of War 1, where you play basically team deathmatch. But when you die, you're out.
Right, and I think what's so fun about Last Titan Standing is that you can win the match by destroying all the Titans on the enemy team, but you don't necessarily have to kill their pilots.
Yeah.
So this leads to something really interesting where, like, I could get out of my Titan and, you know, it's probably not going to last very long on its own.
Guard mode and put it in the back of my base.
Go out and kill Titans on your own.
Yeah.
It's
really cool. It's just because, like, I mean, the thing is, you know, you do the tutorial and it teaches you all, like, the parkour and, you know, the gun shooting and the Titan. And you think the Titan is cool because it's a big robot. But what the thing about the Titan is because this is the studio who created Call of Duty, you have to think about it from a Call of Duty standpoint at least. And think about it in Call of Duty, you know, in Call of Duty, you get a bunch of kills and you get a kill streak, right? And your kill streak's like a dog or a helicopter or something stupid, right? In this game, all your kills are working towards your Titan, and your Titan has like a certain timer, and every time you get a kill, it takes time off the Titan timer. So everyone always has the same kill streak. Everyone always has a Titan. So everyone's always on like at least a similar playing field, and it's more about who's better at the game.
Right, and I think that what's so fun about Titanfall is that players who are very adept at first-person shooters and players who might be, you know, okay at first-person shooters but not exactly, you know, MLG,
yeah,
are able to play this game because of the way that the balancing of the teams work. So if you're not familiar with Titanfall at all, this is the first time you heard of it, or maybe you just don't know the details, it's 6v6. Right, with bots. So the way that this works is six players on each team play pilots, and pilots in the Titanfall universe,
they're like super soldiers, basically.
Right, they're special forces guys who have, you know, they're just the best of the best.
They can do parkour, they can have jump packs, they can double jump.
Right.
The only one people who can drive the Titans.
Yeah, they're the Navy SEALs of basically. They're the badasses, they can do whatever the fuck they want. And one of the things that makes them special is obviously the fact that they know how to pilot the Titan, which they kind of emphasize if you listen to some of the dialogue between the soldiers and the matches, that it's not a very easy thing for the average guy to just get in and do. So six people on each team play as a pilot, and then you have a number of regular infantry units on the field at any given point in time. So there's grunts and specters, and then somewhere in the beta's flavor text, it mentioned something called Marvins, but I don't know what those are. They didn't show up in the beta at all.
They never showed up in the beta.
But the difference is basically that grunts die in like three bullet shots, like regardless of what weapon you're using, and then specters go down a little bit harder, but they are really much more difficult to fight for any intents and purposes. So basically, if you're a newcomer to the first-person shooter genre, you can get in, you can basically fight grunts and specters and stay away from the other players.
And basically kill things until you get your Titan.
Right, and that's what's so fun, is that if you aren't looking to get super competitive with the other players in a match, you can go off, do your own thing, and still help your team. You won't be as helpful, But if you know that you're the player that's going to die every 5 seconds when he's trying to get into combat with the other players, then you can still contribute to your team by minimizing your death and just going after those bots and stuff like that, which I think is really awesome.
Yeah. Well, that was the cool thing is, like, when I first started playing Titanfall, I would run around and I'd kill a lot of the bots to, you know, build up, you know, and kind of get a feel for how the game works. And as I got better and better, I started doing more killing the pilots. Like, I just run out and get the pilots, and I ignore the bots. My problem with the bots, though, is specifically that the bots are fucking so stupid that they really don't have any threat for anyone. You know, I think, in my opinion, I think they should be a little bit tougher.
Well, here's what I'm thinking is probably the case. I think that for the intents of the beta, the bots were probably simplified, and that I imagine that because the entire game runs through multiplayer servers, whether you're playing campaign multiplayer mm-hmm. or classic multiplayer, which are the two types. So in classic multiplayer, which is what the beta was based around, you can choose, you know, whatever game type you want to get match made into, and you just get into the match and you play yeah. any other multiplayer game. And then the story is told through campaign multiplayer, which they
yeah, I read about that.
Yeah, they haven't revealed all of what that's all about, but basically you're still playing against other players, but there's way more narrative and it's a lot more structured around cinematic events and stuff like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think there's obviously a story going between the militia and the IMC, is that right?
Yeah, I think that's what they're called.
And that's fine, you know. And the classic multiplayer was fun enough even. And so, like, the fact there's going to be even more makes me even more excited for it. My problem is just, like, there's a few things that I got really mad at. I mean, granted, I had scores like 14 and 5. I had a 19 and 4 the night before the beta ended. Ridiculous.
I actually went 19-0.
Wow, I hate you.
I went off the fucking walls. Like, I was so happy because... so instead of kill streaks like you had in Call of Duty, you have your Titan, but then after your Titan, you have these things called burn cards. And I hadn't heard about these until I started playing
yeah.
the beta. Basically, earning little in-game challenges and achievements will give you these... they're basically booster cards that grant you a temporary buff. Mm-hmm. For one life. So maybe it's like you get prosthetic legs and you can run faster, or an amped version of one of the guns in the game, which actually let us play with some of the guns that aren't available to the loadouts.
Yeah.
You know, there's heavy machine guns and stuff that you couldn't use as a regular weapon. And that was it. I got the amped SMG at the beginning of the match and I didn't die at all.
Yeah, see, I didn't like the SMG. I liked that assault rifle. That assault rifle was really fun. But the game is just, like, a fucking blast. Because the thing is, like, even if you're shit, there's something for you, you know? There's something you can do to be okay. Because the thing is, even if you're not getting pilot kills, you can just kill the grunts, and that's still getting you points. Like, you're always getting points, which is awesome. And that helps. And then there's also a few things that, you know, adding to my list of kind of things that just kind of miffed me or whatever. I do not like the smart pistol, but I mean that's there for obviously for people who suck, because it's basically like think of the movie Wanted if there was a pistol that worked like that, right?
Well, and I think that what's important to note about the smart pistol is that while I don't like the idea of playing a competitive multiplayer game where there is a gun that can automatically give you a headshot, they do seem to be emphasizing the idea of teaching players that aren't familiar with a first-person shooter how to play a first-person shooter. So for my girlfriend, who, you know, she has a really hard time using both joysticks at the same time. It's just really, difficult for her to
yeah.
move around and look around in a three-dimensional environment. The smart pistol made it a lot easier for her to learn how to shoot in a first-person shooter game because the reticule is a much larger spot. And I like the way that it's balanced so that, yes, you get auto-kills on grunts, you know, like the regular infantry get CPUs and stuff like that. But they do make it a little bit of a challenge for you to get an auto kill on an actual pilot, and that you have to focus on them for a lot longer before it registers as a full kill.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a while to register. But the problem is that with that, they'll get people who use that is they just jump around in circles on me, and it's like, I can't hit, I can't hit him. And, like, I'll have trouble with that. But, I mean, I would still get great scores in that game. And even when you don't get, like, an amazing score, if your team wins, I mean, that's what all should matter. That's one of the problems I have with multiplayer games is people concentrate too much on their KDs. And it should be about winning the match.
Yeah, and one of the things that I really like about Titanfall is they have this post-match kind of mini called the epilogue, and I don't know if it's going to change from map to map or game type to game type. I get the feeling there's probably going to be a prologue in campaign multiplayer as well, but in the epilogue, at least in the beta, it turns into...
They have to get away.
Right. The losing team, the winning team has to hunt down the remaining survivors of the losing team before they get to their evac zone and get away. And even if they get to the evac zone, if all of your buddies have Titans and you're already there waiting for the dropship to show up, you can just shell that thing until it explodes.
Yeah, and it then they don't get any.
It's so much fun denying people the right to get away from battle after they lose. It's like... Oh my god, it's like the ultimate, like, fuck you, we kicked your ass, and here's proof of it. Your ship's in smoldering ruins.
You're all dead, yeah. Yeah, no, that I like that, because, you know, I remember Team Fortress 2 used to have something like that, but, you know, everyone lost their weapons, and it was stupid, so basically the team that lost had no chance. But, I mean, I've had times where I've lost, and I've still just killed the other guys, because once anyone dies in the epilogue, you're done. You can't play anymore. And I've had times where in the epilogue where I've lost, and I was sitting waiting for the dropship, and guys were trying to camp me, and I blasted like three guys before they could stop me from getting on the dropship, and I jumped on the dropship, and I was the only one that got away. And it's just like, even if you're the only one that gets away, it just feels like so. It's like, yeah, fuck you guys.
That's
you may
always
have won,
satisfying.
But I got
too.
Away, bitch.
Yeah, that's always satisfying, because I had my fair share of matches that would end in. You know, I was one of the top three players on the team. We end up losing. I get to the drop zone, and there's a bunch of people camping on the roof, and you just fucking tear through them, get to your drop ship, get that lone survivor bonus at the end.
Yeah.
Super gratifying. Even if you lose by a wide margin, escaping with your life is super satisfying in Titanfall.
Yeah, it's just really, like, the whole game feels satisfying, because the thing is, okay, think about it from, like, a Call of Duty standpoint, right? You know, that's the comparison everyone's going to make, and so we're going to make it anyway. So in Call of Duty, you know, you're running around, you're killing people, right? But there's times in Call of Duty where you're not shooting anything, and, you know, I don't want to say it gets boring, but it's like, okay, well, I'm just going to run around. In Titanfall, there's never a time when you aren't shooting something. If you want to shoot something, you're shooting something 24/7. Because there's, like, there's little grunts running around, the specters are running around, like, everything's running around, there's always something to do. And it kind of, like, it almost adds, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Just like a feel where you're in this huge war, even if the map's tiny, and, like,
it's
there's...
immersive.
Yeah, it's immersive, exactly. Like, it's really immersive. Like, you can see the two grunts fighting each other, and if you kill one of if you kill your side, the grunt that your side grunt is fighting, like, he'll be like, oh, thanks, man. And it's like, yeah, bro. No problem.
Or alternatively, sometimes you'll find an enemy grunt carrying his buddy who's wounded away from the battle, and you can just demolish them both.
Yeah, exactly.
It's super satisfying. I really like that about this, too, is that it kind of brought me out of the multiplayer a few times. And it really felt epic in those moments. You know, you really feel like you are a special forces person when when you're the pilot in the match, because, you know, the grunts are getting killed left and right and all this stuff. And I think having grunts run into combat with you is really fun too, because you feel like you're leading these men into combat, especially if you're in the Titan and you got.
And they'll talk about you too. They'll be like, "Oh wow, have you seen that pilot? He sure is powerful."
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, gee, you guys make me feel so good about myself.
Oh, stop it, you.
Oh, stop it, you. Yeah, exactly. It's just like, we hate it on this game so bad, and you really have to play it before you can, you know, pass your own judgment.
It's true.
Like,
I have a couple, I mean, I have some issues with some of the textures and stuff like that.
Oh, it's not a pretty game. Like, that's one thing. This game isn't pretty. Like, I know you're going to get it on top settings. This is not a next-gen graphics game.
I mean, the beta probably didn't contain the most high-resolution textures that they're using for it, but it's... The graphics definitely aren't as impressive here as they were when they first revealed the game.
Yeah, like when they first revealed the game, you're like, oh wow, this looks really good. And now that you've played like Killzone on PS4 and you've played Battlefield 4 on high-end PCs and also on PS4 and Xbox One, like it doesn't have the same appeal that it did, you know.
Right, which is, you know, I have to give it a little bit of I have to give it a little bit of space because it's being developed for. Isn't it going on? It's going on the 360 as well, right?
It's going on the 360 as well, but it's going on 2 weeks later. So Microsoft's trying to squeeze all they can out of that Xbox One sales. Which, and I think this game is going to sell way more on PC than an Xbox 360 than it will on Xbox One, just because no one's going to buy a console just for this one game. Granted, this game's great, but they've already said Titanfall 2 will be on PS4.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that this will definitely help move Xbox Ones for Microsoft, but I don't think it's going to move anywhere near as many as they're hoping.
Well, PlayStation's at 5.3 million before the Japanese launch tomorrow. Xbox One's already launched worldwide, and they're nowhere near that. And this thing's about to launch in Japan tomorrow, and it already has 5.3 million. It's ridiculous. This thing sold more than a PS2 did when it came out, even.
Yeah, it's going a little apeshit.
It's kind of crazy to see, you know, how many people have bought in PS4s and how much this thing is sold. And the thing is, I read about today why Titanfall isn't on PS4 is because Sony was being too secretive for Respawn. You know, they were like, oh, they don't want to say anything, because at the time, you know, Xbox 360 was dominating when they first did this contract. And now, you know, PS4 is just ridiculously selling. I think, honestly, here's my opinion, is Titanfall will be on PS4 before the end of the year.
You know what?
Sony will pay
people,
for it.
No, because the people at Respawn, I think the way that they signed the deal is that the first game has to remain exclusive. But I think you're right when you said that Titanfall 2 is going to be coming to the PS4 because the licensing didn't require that it remain exclusive, just that the first iteration of the series remains exclusive. But
they're losing so much money not having it on PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4.
Well, they're not losing money by not getting it on the PlayStation, but they're certainly not earning as much as they could be. You know what? I would not be surprised if you see Microsoft buy this franchise as an exclusive thing to the Xbox.
I don't think they'll let them. EA will not let them. EA is making all the money off this right now because they got Respawn, and Respawn is making this game, and EA will not. EA loves money. You can't even deny the fact EA loves
money. It's true.
EA will not let this game ever become exclusive to one platform because they're going to lose money no matter what.
Yeah.
This game is what multiplayer shooters should be. This is, you know, this game basically tells Call of Duty to go fuck itself because it's so ridiculously crazy. Like, the parkour, the fact of how crazy it is, you know, 1 minute you'll be shooting at some guys and you jump into a Titan, get a big feckin' robot and just blowing other people up with the robot, and the robot explodes and you're getting ejected and you're on a rooftop and there's a guy and you're fucking breaking his neck. It's just,
yeah,
well, so much crazy shit.
The one thing that I love about gameplay more than anything else, you know, the one thing that I was really worried about happening in this game that just never happened the entire time I was playing the beta: nobody ever camps in that game. You have to be moving quickly. You have to be thinking on your toes. You can't sit still in a room and hope that somebody's going to come in up the certain set of stairs because of the way parkour and things like that work. You know, because there's three-dimensional movement and there's no one or even two ways to get into a place. You know, there's typically, at least in the two maps that were in the beta, there are five or six ways to get into a building.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're really easily accessible if you learn the controls.
The minute you drop down in that game, everyone's just parkouring and jumping on rooftops and going through everywhere. The thing is, everyone's always moving in that game, and it makes it a better game.
Yeah. Now, I only found one spot where people camped. It was on, not the Fracture map, the other one, the one that's in the city.
Angel City.
Angel City had a spot in one of the warehouses where somebody would camp right by one of these shipping containers with a shotgun. I don't know if you ever encountered that. But you know what happened? They just didn't get any kills because nobody went in there. I think somebody killed them. They went back in there after they died, and just nobody touched that area of the map. You know, yeah. it's nobody wants to deal with campers anymore, and this game eliminates the ability to camp.
Everyone's running around, and the abilities allow you to, you know, to dodge stuff like that. Like, you have a cloak ability or that stim ability that allows you to run faster.
Well, and the other thing is that because you're working to get your Titan before anyone else gets their Titan, that encourages every player in the match to get in there and start playing instead of holding back and trying to wait for enemies to come to you. You can do that to an extent, but you're not going to have those players who, you know, who find their one spot on the map, sit there and wait for the enemies to come around the corner. You know, that doesn't happen in Titanfall, really.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It's unlike anything else.
I've not played multiplayer like this.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know about you, but I bought the game already.
I'm going to be getting money soon, and I'm going to pre-order it, I think, if I have that.
Well, I did digital, just because I'm not going to bother with the physical.
Yeah.
So I did digital because it's just going to be on Origin anyway. But, like, you know, coming from someone who was like, I don't like this game, I think it's going to be dumb. Like, when I first saw it, I was like, this looks like Call of Duty in space. And I had a friend who felt the same way, but to a stronger degree than I do. And, you know, like, I mean, I feel pretty strong about, you know, some of the stuff when I say it. And he hated this game. Hated this game. And he played the beta and was like, holy shit, man, this game, this is pretty awesome. It's just crazy as hell.
At first glance, it seems like it's just another COD clone, but it's very special. It's very fun.
Yeah, it's very different. And what I can't wait for is, you know, Titanfall 1... You know, they've leaked everything that's in it. Basically, there's 15 maps from the start, which is great. They've leaked, you know, there's like 21 perks, you know, all that stuff. That's not a limited amount, but that's, you know, that's not a ton. There's like 33 guns, but that's with rocket launchers and sidearms and all that stuff. What's going to be really cool is when Titanfall 2 comes out and you have a higher player count. You have, because this game wasn't developed for the next gen consoles, and it's obvious. Yeah. That it wasn't, the next gen consoles weren't its original idea, but yeah, Microsoft's like, hey, put this on our Xbox One.
Yeah, it was very clearly, especially with the textures and stuff in mind, this looks like a grade A.
It's on Source Engine.
Or PS3 game, but it doesn't look like a grade A next gen game. And I think you're right. Titanfall 2 will be true next gen. Titanfall 2 is going to have bigger play.
I think maybe double, maybe even more. You know, maybe 16 players on each team with the bots and the maps. And God, I mean, that'd be insanity if the maps are bigger.
What I think you might see in Titanfall 2 is a switch from, you know, because they already have units in this multiplayer that are different. You might see different kinds of pilots or things like that. But yeah. I don't want to speculate.
The possibilities for this franchise are crazy.
First game isn't even out yet.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, the possibilities for this franchise are crazy, and it's exactly what the Call of Duty type of shooter genre type of game. You know, Battlefield is its own type of game, and so is Call of Duty. But it's what it needs. You know,
I'm really looking forward to seeing how the alien life forms are going to start playing into the story and in the multiplayer.
They said there's a map where you can actually fight an alien life form that's on the outside.
Yeah, they said that. Yeah, there's a couple maps with local fauna that might not be too happy that you're there. They also showed that there on at least one of the maps are these huge things called leviathans that are just massive, and they walk around in the background or something. I don't know. It's terrifying looking.
This game is just crazy, and it's definitely a game to be to check out. I wish we could have podcast during the beta and told you play the beta, because you need to try this game. But I mean, if you're thinking about it, just buy it on March 11th, and you're gonna enjoy yourself.
Well, here's what I would recommend. If you are unsure about this game, buy it over Origin, because Origin will refund you all of your cash if you do not like the game and you return it, I think, within a six-hour period of time of purchasing it digitally. So if you have a good internet connection, you think you can get it downloaded and installed and play a couple hours of it in that period of time, then you can just return it if you don't like it.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, definitely try it. Give it a shot. See what you think. If you like it, you know, you can message us on our Facebook, facebook.com/fireeverythingpodcast.
And I think that's going to do it for us this week. Next week, Paul will be back. And I think we'll be talking a little bit about Thief and what's the other one that comes out next week? Castlevania?
Lords of Shadow 2.
Lords of Shadow 2? Okay.
AKA God of War clone.
Yeah, AKA an old franchise rebooted as a God of War clone.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week back with our buddy Paul. Okay.
Boom. Cool.